Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw
at Urban Grapevine Magazine Project.
Your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on. Yes. Book it at let's.talk.urban1@gmail.com. Boom.
Hello, everyone. You have tuned into Let's Talk Urban with your host, Felicia Bradshaw, and our guest today is Mr. Byron Carey, author of Nowhere to Turn. Let me tell you a little bit about author Byron Carey, and then we'll welcome him to the platform. Author Byron Carey is a reformed drug distributor that served a 10-year federal prison sentence. Byron was born and raised in Fort Worth, Texas. He has transformed his way back into society as a truck driver and author. Author Byron Carey attended Alvin Community College, where he holds his associate's in business administration. He was an outstanding basketball player that worked his way into the USBL Basketball League in 2002. He is the author of, like I said, Nowhere to Turn, with several more to come in the future. I want to give you a quick recap on the synopsis for Nowhere to Turn, I'm sorry. Nowhere to Turn is a classic tale written by one of Fort Worth's native sons, Byron Carey. It's about two brothers who are going through adversity and endeavors that will either define them or destroy them. And in this novel, the twisted tale of the streets of Fort Murderworth will leave you dazed, mesmerized, and on the edge of your seat. Sounds like a thriller, guys. So not just your average urban street lit. Nowhere to Turn is captivating, deeply descriptive story that guarantees to have you begging for more. So I'm assuming that Nowhere to Turn is going to have a sequel. I'm just saying. All right, we're going to welcome Byron into the room. And as he comes to the platform, we'd like to give him some praise for all that he has done. So I'd like to welcome author Byron to the platform. Hey, Byron.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Thank you for having me, Miss Felicia.
Oh, I can hear the Southern in you. Tell everybody
it's
about
the Southern in me.
Yeah, I can hear that little Southern mentality. hospitality too. So how's it going down in Texas? Is it hot?
Right now it's kind of cool. It's not 37 today.
Today was our first warm day. It was the 70s.
Oh man, the 70s. Yeah, it was a couple of days like that early in the week. As a matter of fact, this weekend it's supposed to be in the 70s. Then it gets supposed to get cold again. A little sweet rain and sleet.
It's fighting that hot weather. Yeah. Fighting to come back. So how are you?
Yeah. I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
I can't complain. And when I do, don't nobody pay me no attention.
Yeah, you know how it is.
You know. So you might as well just stay appreciative and everything just work itself out. You know? Let's talk about your pen. Before we talk about your pen, let's talk about the man behind it. Besides what was recapping your bio, who is Byron today?
was Bob in the day. I mean, today I'm a humble guy today. And being that I'm humble, I'm a fatherly man. I have two boys, and I love my kids to death. I always been one that loves to take care of family. And as I made it back this round, things have been a lot different, you know. So now every day I wake up, I pray. I'm a lot happier than I was in the past. It was like I had something like a chip on my shoulder for some reason. And that kind of happened by the time I was about 13, my father passed away, and I just didn't have a male role model or a male figure I could look up to. Even though my father is one of 32 brothers and sisters. But
what?
Sadly, yes, my father had a lot of brothers and sisters. My grandfather was doing what he had to do. He had So,
how many uncles did you have? Uncles out of those
34? Out of 32, I want to say it's about 18 of them. And the bad thing about it, most of them are deceased right now. I still have about four that I talk to a lot, but it's a bunch of females, so they're still around. My grandmother, she was one of 31 kids. She passed away a few years ago, but she still has 22 brothers and sisters living right now. So I have a bunch of great aunts and great uncles that's still around.
You have a large family.
Oh, yeah. It's a big family.
And the core last name is Carey?
Yeah, well, for my grandfather, yes. But as far as my grandmother, they have a variety of names with them. From Tillman to Anderson to Williams, the Haleys. It's quite a bit of them as far as different names because, you know, how in the olden, well, it's kind of crazy, but in the olden days, they kind of shopped around, I guess. But with my grandfather, he ended up having 21 with her, then like 9 by another next wife and a couple of stragglers.
Back it up, Byron. Back it up. Your grandmother pushed out that many kids?
Yes,
I was assuming that your father was a Rolling Stone, and wherever he laid his hat was his home. But a majority of them are with one person.
Right. Yeah, he was married to her. He had one right before her, and then he married her, and they had that many. Most of the boys ended up living with my great grandfather, and he kind of raised most of the boys. With my grandmother kept most all of the girls but one, and she raised them.
Oh my!
Yeah.
I ain't never heard of such. You know,
yeah.
I heard of it, but it was usually like your grandmother's, siblings or your great grandmother's siblings, not as close as a person having that many kids that was, you know, that close in our age history, our generational. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's so sad that they have that many uncles and not one stepped up to the plate to be a father figure.
No, like I said, most of my uncles, Dan was either on drugs or alcoholics or in prison. Then quite a few of them passed away along the way, but I didn't really find that figure to look up to, even though my father was like the middle kid, but everybody looked to him for whatever they needed done. So by the time he passed away, it just kind of left me in limbo of what's going on. So I just kind of.
A lot of responsibility.
Yeah. I started to let the people in.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just started looking at what was going on in the street and the other people that was around that wasn't on drugs or whatever, but most of them was dealers or whatever. And then I kind of got off into it that way. Where I ended up
don't.
In the street.
Hey, amen. There's a reason for everything. Like, I'm just mesmerized by the mob. She was in one lady. She wasn't playing. You hear me? She was. She said, "I'm gonna raise me my own little tribe." What? So did you? So you lost your father to what kind of death?
My father. Matter of fact, my father and my mother. They used to race motorcycles and stuff like that, and race cars. But my father ended up passing away on. In a motorcycle accident, and he was racing this guy. I remember it just like it was yesterday. It was a Sunday. I called myself trying to go out and mess with this chick, and you know he kind of overheard the conversation, and so he forced me to go to a musical with my grandmother and my mother.
Ah! Boy, you want to see your arms too short, the boxer guy? You want to see that with your grandmother?
Yeah. Yeah, he forced me to go do that. And by the time we made it back from the musical that night, about 10:30 that night, the phone was ringing off the hook, and my mother answered it, and she just started crying and like, "I'm gonna go. You and your little sister go in that room, and I'm leaving." I'm like, "No, where are you going?" And I grabbed my little sister. We ran, got in the car with her, and I remember just running red lights all the way to the hospital. And by the time we got there, I mean. He had passed away. I said he was racing this guy, and the guy had his brother at the end as far as the finish line. And as my father was winning, he pulled the car in front of him. My father hit the car, and they robbed him for his money, and he passed away. So, yeah, I took it pretty hard for years.
How old are your sons?
My oldest son is 20, and I have one that's 9.
Okay.
I was too scared to have one of those big families like that. It costs too much.
Yes. You'd be on TV. Let me ask you a question. You reformed. Being a drug distributor, that you didn't even say dealer, you said distributor. Like that's sickening. That ain't sitting out of the corner with a couple of packs. you went from that to coming back and doing, you know, what are you now? Truck driver?
Yeah, so I'm an independent contractor, so I'm in go as I please.
Came home, went to college, you balled a little bit, and with all the stuff that you've been through, all the coming backs, the pickups, what would you tell your 12-year-old self after the loss of your father? If you know what I mean? If you could go back and kind of tap your own self at 12, what do you think you would tell him, knowing what you know now, for a redirection so you didn't have to go through all that?
What would I tell my father?
Yourself.
Oh, what might I tell myself if he didn't pass away? You know, I asked myself that question.
No, not if he didn't pass away. After he passed away.
Oh,
12
after.
Years old. Your father passed away, and it's kind of where you kind of, you know, never really bounced back from that. Maybe that's where your waywardness starts. You know what I mean? You've been through so much, and you got victory. You know what I mean?
Right.
What would, knowing all this, knowing your victory, knowing all the things you went through, what would you have told yourself to reassure the 12-year-old you that everything was going to end up being okay?
Oh, that's a hard question for me, but I mean, I think I just would have told myself to hold on. I mean, just hold on and just focus on school and that he'll still be watching over me right now and guiding me, because even right now, as old as I am, I still go to the cemetery and ask him to guide me to do the right thing. And I always, even after he passed, I always ask, I do the same thing, but I had strayed so far off my course, it was hard to come back. But I wish at 12 or 13 that I never got off the porch. I just would have stayed on the porch, stayed in school with my books and stuff, because I was a pretty smart kid and very observant of the things that was going on. But without that male figure to sit there and guide me and tell me the difference between if what had happened, if you could get out there and start doing that, the repercussions that would come from it. And I didn't have anyone to tell me that. So I had to learn it the hard way.
Sometimes the hard way. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're right. Sometimes the hard way is the best way, best learning tool for certain people. Because even if I was a spoiled kid. I didn't have any siblings until I was 11 years old, so I was a spoiled kid. So I would do whatever I wanted to do. I got anything that I wanted. And even though the things that I did do, after passing, I really didn't have to do it. I mean, my father was a railroad engineer, had his own mechanic shop, and he raced cars. So I would get insurance, some of that money. I would get Social Security, which is pretty good for a kid at 13 years old. I was getting $1,200 a month. My mother, she was just like, "Yeah, this is yours. What you going to do with it?" But me, I just figured I knew how to flip it. So,
you know, it's crazy how, as kids, you know, when we're young,
right,
how easy we can go to the left, like, and even
right.
I won't even lie and say, "Oh, I didn't know any better. I knew better." It just didn't. I guess at that age, you just don't care, like. You figure you got time, you know? I can make that up. But I guess you made yours
right.
up in prison, like, you know what I mean? Where did you develop the writing skills?
Well, I guess I have to. I actually did two prison terms. I did one time, my 1993, I caught an attempted murder case. That was my last year of high school. I was receiving letters from all kinds of colleges for full scholarships. After I did that, nobody wanted to mess with me. So I got an 8-year sentence for that, and I did 6 years. And when I was down there then, he had heard about my little stories and stuff through other people. Then me and him became decent enough to start talking a little bit. And he was like, "Man, have you ever thought about writing a movie?" So I was like, "Nah, I don't want to write no movie." And next thing I know, I ended up picking up my pen and I just started writing all this little stuff down that was going on in my life. And I didn't put it in paragraph form, chapters. I just wrote it out in probably about 80 sheets of paper front and back. And that was in 2000. Then about when I got out in 02, then I ended up catching that federal case in 05. And when I went back, I said, "You know what, I think I better go ahead and fix those now." Because I wrote two like that. And I ended up going back. And I had my family send it to me, and I learned how to write a book. So I just said, "Now I'm going to write it as a book. If I can get it to a movie later, we can go movie later, but I think I need to tell this story." And that's how I actually ended up writing Nowhere to Turn. And it's actually a trilogy to that. So it's a three book.
And is it about you? Is it all about you?
Well, the basis of the book has a lot to go along that happened in my life, yes. But I'm going to tell you the book is fiction. But the basis of the book has a lot to go went on in my life. Things that I've been through, things I've seen. But it's I did add fiction in the book, so it the book is fiction.
Okay, you tweaked it a little.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to let you slide with that one. So, has your son, your oldest son, read that?
Yes, my oldest son has read it. And it was crazy because pretty much all his life I've been trying to hide that one because, you know, my family thought I was just this basketball guy, half of them. And then only one side of the family just knew, well, hey, he's in these streets doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So okay. I tried to keep him on the side that thought nothing but, oh, my dad is a basketball player, a star, he's doing this. But he didn't remember when he was a kid that he used to be riding with me and people used to be shooting at me with him in the car. So as I ended up going to prison, I remembered a lot of the things that was going on in my life when I was younger and neighborhood elders or my uncles or see me and say, you're just like your dad. And this was a side that I never knew about my dad. So I was like, well, and the more they told me that, it seems like it was my driving force to keep me doing what I was doing and getting worse, or I'm going to say harder at it, because I wanted to be more like my dad because that was a side I didn't know. So I tried to keep that away from I tried to keep all that away from my son so I never would answer his questions or talk about any of that, about my past. He knew I was in prison. I just always say, I made a mistake. And so he stopped asking me until he was about, I guess, 16, 17. And I said, well, son, let's sit down. I'll go on and talk to you. And I said, I want you to read these books too. And I finally told him, because by then I figured he became the man he wanted to be because he was getting ready to head to college. So he didn't have to try to live the life I lived when I was younger or around his age. And it actually worked out because he's nothing like me when it comes to that. He's a great kid. He goes to Fairview A&M. He has his under the influence radio show he does down there. He's a double major, criminal justice and mass communication.
Okay.
Yeah.
He ain't playing around. He's doing his little thing. Now, the direction that of your nine-year-old, we always, you know, overlook the great talents in our children because I think most parents try to push in them not only their values but their passion. What does your 9-year-old do, and what sticks out about his personality and having a dad that writes.
And what sticks out about him, man, this guy here has an attitude. But
really?
I've been trying to figure out how to turn it off on him. I mean, he gets mad at school, he ties his books up and all that if the teacher don't help him. But I've been trying to diffuse it, and it's kind of hard to do. When it seems like you're looking at yourself, and you're like, man, this is me. And how do I even talk to him about me? He's gotten a lot better.
Without telling
now,
too much.
Great.
Right?
Yeah. No, I don't tell him anything about none of that. Yeah. But the great thing about it, as far as sports, by the time I made it here, I think he's going to be better than me when it comes to sports. He's just naturally talented in football and basketball.
Okay.
So I try to give him some basics But as far as basketball, I play him one-on-one. He's not scared to shoot on me, even though I'm 6'4". He's,
How tall is he?
How tall is he?
Yeah.
Nine. He's pretty big. He's probably about, I don't know exactly, but about the size of probably the average 12-year-old, I guess. So he's pretty tall for his age, because a lot of people don't believe he's nine by the time you tell him. So he's a pretty big kid. He's always been tall, though, for his age.
Okay. So you're prepped for his mindset. Do you let him have an option of, you know, what he can do in life compared to what you must get done?
Oh, yes. With both of them, especially the oldest one, I remember times he wanted to do just certain things. Like, I went to barber school. I have a barber license. I got my CDL, so I bought an 18-wheeler, all that stuff. So he just started thinking that that's what he wanted to do. And I had to tell him once before, son, the things that I do is not meant for you to have to do. I said, if you think that's what's going to make me happy, I'd rather you not do it. I'd rather you do what you want to do for yourself, because later on in the future, you're going to have your own family, your own kids, and you want to find something that's going to make you happy. So basically, when I told him that, he used to play basketball because of me. He wasn't as good as me. I can't take that away from him, but because I wasn't there. But he wasn't as good as me, and he finally decided after I told him that, well, you know what, I'm not going to play basketball anymore. So that's when he started doing the radio stuff, and he wanted to get in acting. And I was like, hey, I'm with you all the way. And whatever you want to do,
so
don't do it because you – yes, he's been doing a little bit. I want to say a month ago, a month and a half ago, we had to go to an acting – I went to an acting audition with him, and he did pretty good. And they've
Where
been calling at? Back. Ma'am?
You're still in Texas?
Huh?
You still live in Texas?
Yes, I still live in Texas.
Oh, man, I have a friend. When you said that he asked, it just sparked a memory. Jerika Armstrong, but she is in New Jersey, and she's casting right now for her movie. You should try friend her up. Her name is Jerika, D-R-I-C-A Armstrong. And she's doing submissions for Jerika, D as in David.
Yes.
R-I-C-A. And you should look her up for them, because she is doing auditions for her main characters. And it might be something he'd be, you know, interested in, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'll make sure I get it.
The direction of Nowhere to Turn, you said that this book is captivating and deeply descriptive story that guarantees to have you begging for more. So is there going to be more?
Oh, yes. So I said it's a 3-book series, so it's going to be more coming. But next one that I have coming right now is, it won't be the book 2. I wanted to kind of change some things, so I have a new book that's getting ready to come out called Clouded Judgment, and I'm hoping to have it ready by spring break.
Okay.
Have it out on Kindle by spring break. Still in the little tweaking stages, but it's almost done.
Okay. We're going to go into a commercial right now. And just give me a second.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw
at Urban Grapevine Magazine Project.
Your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on. Book it at let's.talk.urban1@gmail.com. Boom.
But that's...
Okay, we're back. So you said that will this book come out before part two to Nowhere to Return? Because I know a lot of authors bounce and they'll, like, you know, drop part one again and then go back to dropping, you know, a Nowhere to Turn two. You know what I mean? How are you going to handle bringing out your second book outside of the series, Nowhere to Turn?
My promotion, Miss Lisa told me not to say anything about this, but
don't say it, man. I would like somebody else to tell me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she told me to keep me hush about it. But nowhere, before the end of the year, Nowhere to Turn to a probably surface by the end of the year. Like I said, I just wanted to give them a little something different. So I'm going to the Clouded Judgment. I wanted to give them a different perspective of things. It's really totally different than Nowhere to Turn. That one is more from a universal standpoint. So I just wanted to see how people react to certain things. So I'm just testing the water before I come.
With this testing the water, are you testing genre boundaries? Is it going to be something outside of the street fiction?
Yes, it's going to be outside of that.
Oh, I mean,
it's going to have a little bit, but it has a little more to give it has erotica, a little romance, and it still has suspense. Leave you hanging. So I said I wrote that with that universal pen.
We're going to see the lover side of Byron. Huh? We're going to see the heart. Okay, let your heart believe that. You got to.
Yeah.
No, really. It's so much to us than street fiction, even if it's still, street-based. You know what I mean? If it's what you know, it's what you know.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but if you can turn around and go from writing street fiction to writing romance, urban romance, from that to Christian fiction, and there's so many parts of, I guess, genres that we can tap into, and we tend to limit ourselves, assuming that we're not going to get accepted. But your pen is just what it is. It should be able to spit out whatever comes to mind. And if the only thing that's in your mind is the streets,
yeah,
it's a problem. That's a problem. You know, the people say, well, that's where I'm comfortable. You know, okay, but that doesn't mean you can't get uncomfortable and still write a damn good book. You know?
Yes.
So, we're tapping into the soft side. The soft side of Byron. Will you bring out a love story, or will you bring out a different type of romance?
It's probably a different type of romance, because I say it has quite a few things going on with love and couples. Then one guy, he's Devin, he's trying to fall in love. Well, this chick steals his heart, basically. He's a player, but she ended up stealing his heart. So that's the love thing with that, with him, with Devon and Brittany. They're married, but their love is kind of on the rocks. In the beginning, it's all good. Then it kind of gets on the rock, and it has a lot of dramatic things going on. Where a lot of twists and turns, but it's love. You have family issues, so that's where the theme of it is clouded judgment. The closest person to you is the hardest to judge. So it's a lot of secrets that's being withheld in the midst of all this, that where certain things come out later, and a lot of people get hurt. A lot of them get hurt. And
real talk.
But,
that's real talk. Real living.
Yeah.
You know, we can't all be big time drug dealers and living that life and, you know, 2 or 3 girlfriends, and we all can't be that way. You know, there's got to be a little more substance to our men and what they write about. You know.
Right.
I think it looks nice when especially when a black man can write and his body shifts. You know what I mean? We get to see this part of him. We get to see the loving part of him. You know what I mean? We get to see how we
view
women, how we view relationships, how we view the streets, and how it all pulls together and makes what the black family ends up being about. I have a friend. His name is Eric S. Gray. And he's the bomb. And when he writes, you would never know when you see him. You know, he's got the street dude look, but his heart is so soft when he turned around and went from, you know, writing books about booty calls all the way up to a guy really fighting for a loveless relationship. And in the end, fighting for the product of that relationship, to keep the product of that relationship, which was his son, even though he was letting go of the first love, you know, type that he had for women. So I can't wait to see your secret, because I didn't get you telling too much. I don't want nobody calling me that. But just to know and let readers know that there's more to Byron Carey than they think. You know what I mean? And
yes.
Will you be self-publishing this?
Yes, I'll be self-publishing this.
And how do you go? Go ahead. You can go.
Well, the reason I'm self-publishing this book, then my grandmother passed away while I was locked up, and they wouldn't let me go see her as far as the funeral stuff. But
wow.
So as I started writing this book, I implemented a grandmother in there. And the way my grandmother used to talk to me was, I mean, my grandmother, she was a funny woman, but she would tell you it just like it is. And even when she used to write me letters, that's what she would do in her letters. So I took a lot of her letters, and a lot of the grandmother's dialogue came from those letters.
Oh,
so
when
publishers used to come and ask me about the book, I was scared to give it away because that book meant so much to me.
Right.
Because I used the letters, so I decided I'd just go ahead and do this on my own, just so I know it's safe.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
So,
yes, right.
Yeah.
I can understand that. It's almost like giving away your diary.
Yes.
To something you're not sure. Yeah, and you're not really sure what they're going to do with it. But if
right.
it's still under, you know, Byron Carey, then you don't got to worry about that. You don't, you know, you
right.
know you, it's safe keepings with you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing a collaboration or stepping outside of the self-publishing and going into mainstream? Because, you know, that self-publishing can get overwhelming. And
yeah.
I think some people lean towards publishing companies for that little bit of knowledge that you don't already have. You know what I mean? That mentoring. So what will you be
oh,
doing
yeah.
in the future?
in the future, probably right after this one, I'll probably stick around again. Nene Capri has been mentoring me and consolating me a lot, giving me a lot of good information. Her, Lisa Sandler, from the day I met them, I told them, I said, I guess you don't know. I actually got out of prison July 3rd of last year.
Wow.
So I met them in like October. And since then, I mean, we've been just.
Right here.
Ma'am?
You definitely bumped into the right people.
Oh, yes. When I bumped into them, I just felt so blessed. And ever since, I mean, we built this bond, and it's been a good bond, and they're keeping me positive. So if any time that I need to know anything or need anything, they've always been there for me. So the first book, Nowhere to Turn, it's with Chappelle Publishing. And I signed that deal when I was locked up. I signed a one-book deal. And the thing is, he wants the other two books to it, but we can't come together on the right figure. So that's on hold for the other two right now. So, but
okay.
With me and Nene and Lisa, we've just been working trying to help me learn this thing, learn the whole business, because I actually ended up writing 5 books while I was gone. So
wow.
I have a little archive, and then I have some more little stuff simmering that I need to sit down and tighten up. So I have a nice little stash of books ready.
Okay. Let me find out you ain't telling something, and you're going to be up under Boss Lady Publishing.
Oh, no. Well, I can't speak.
I can't go wrong.
Yeah, I can't go wrong. I love that. I love G Street, a distribution deal with United Distribution. I can't go wrong either way. I would love it.
She learned from Juanita Clark. She can't go wrong that way either.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know. So it seems like you're going in the right direction with your writing, and we'd like to have you back on the show to talk a little more about your characters, and everybody, I just want you to know that Byron will be in the magazine that drops in 2 days, Urban Grapevine Magazine. And everybody that has been on the show from the 1st to until the 13th will be featured in Urban Grapevine Magazine. I'd just like to thank you, Byron, for coming to the platform. And it seemed like that went by really fast. And
yes, it do.
You know, I truly would like to have you back on so we can get in depth about Nowhere to Turn as the piece of conversation. We all got personal. I done got all up in your business, your grandmother.
It's all right.
But, you know, people want to know. People kind of want to know. I ain't just been nosy for no reason. You know, people kind of want to know the person. I think the person sells. I think the person sells the book. The book don't sell the person, you know.
And I believe that's right. I would love for everyone to know who I am, know what I've been through, or know what direction I'm going in. And as of right now, I'm going in a positive direction. I feel so blessed every day. I wake up, and as far as temptation, I don't get tempted to go back and to my old life at all. And so every day I wake up, I just take it one day at a time, and I'm loving it. I love getting to enjoy my kids and my family and coming to work every day.
Yeah, and some people don't have that when they come home. They don't have that support system. They don't have that, you know, need to do right because the son that they didn't get to, you know, be around is really truly in their lives. You know, women can get wicked when it comes to that. You know what I mean? Yeah, to be able to come home and still have your family and still have and be able to be a dad, you know what I mean? No matter what, be able to come home and be a dad and be employed and put your blessings to work as far as your pen and being able to put your thoughts on paper. That's not easy. It's not easy at all, especially because you implemented your grandmother's letters into that too. It's not easy. Sometimes we start writing. We don't even close out our books for weeks because we just want to say goodbye. We just want to end it. And
yeah.
I got to come home and not even being home 2-3 years and look how much you have accomplished. I want you to see that this is, and know that we know that this is not easy. This writing life is not easy, and to just to live right, it's so easy to live wrong. You know what I mean? It's effortless.
Yeah.
You don't even have to put nothing into it. It just you just can be, and it takes a lot to be right. And I commend you on that. And we'd love to have you back on Let's Talk Urban. And I also have a couple of other shows. I'll talk to Leisha about that are coming to play. Treasure Blue is going to have a show that starts on the 21st, and it's called The Blueprint. And then I also, and it's a lot of advice, it's a lot of coaching, it's a lot of industry talk. I also have a show, it's a little more spiritual, and it's called The Nanosecond. And it's that second in time when you say, not me, and yes, sir, you. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Then I have, when you start tapping into that midnight love type writing, that old erotica, I have a show that I also produce coming to Let's Talk Urban One Radio, and it's going to be called Penetrations After Dark, and that's with author Jonathan. She's under Quran, right? To Eat, and Chris Renee, who's under Life Changing Books. So we got a whole lot of new stuff coming out, and it'd be great to just send you through the little circuit. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
please do. Yeah, please do.
To get your name out there, get some shine. You know, Leisha's really good at helping me out as well. So we're going to sit down and be able to bring you back to the platform where you can talk a little more about Byron and the past Byron, the present Byron, and the future Byron. So I'd like to thank you for coming out, and you got to stay blessed and keep encouraging through your pen because you know your son is watching too.
Oh yeah, I will. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for having me again.
Make sure that you keep me posted. I might have to cut some necks because, you know, I'm at my 5,000 mark. So I might have to discipline to get a friend. But that's okay. Recycling, ain't nothing wrong with recycling. So just send me a friend request so we can stay connected and I can keep watching you. So we can bring you back, give or take by the warm weather breaking, maybe sometime in April.
In April? That'll work for me.
Sounds like a plan.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Like a plan. All right. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Everybody, that was Byron Carey. For those who missed the show, we will be dropping the links on social media, so you'll be able to get a recap of this. And Byron was unable to tell us, because I didn't ask, about his social networks. So you still should be able to catch him on Facebook. Or you can tap into Lisha Sadler, that's L-I-S-S-H-A, Sadler, S-A-D-L-E-R, and she can even tap into Byron. Make sure that you support him. Support all our black men. Support all our minority authors, our indie authors. It is not as easy as it looks, you know. People think that this crap that we're given is a given, and it's truly not. Some people don't even know they have it in them until later on in life. You know, and sometimes it takes somebody to sit still long enough in order to produce a quality work, or to even have enough faith in themselves, period, to say, I can do this. I got time. I can sit down and do this. And I'm really, truly hoping that we'll be able to catch Byron again on the Let's Talk Urban One Radio circuit. And like I said, we have a whole lot of new shows coming out, and they're not going to be limited to that. We also are starting to do a lot of collaborations with other circuits outside of Blog Talk Radio, and that is some collaborations I have going on in the future with H.D. Campbell, and he has started a YouTube station called HDTV, and he does Skype interviews, and those tend to be more interesting for people who love the visual with the audio, you know, getting to see the author interact, because with the ebook series and the ebook format itself, a lot of authors don't come out for paperback venues or discussions, and the only time you really get to interact with these authors are from being online, you know, and you never really get to see them. You just get to assume that you're chatting with them. You understand? So we decided as a company at Urban Grapevine Media Publishing and Publicity to put Let's Talk Urban One Radio as a station too, so other talk shows can come up under it, and authors can also have their own platform to give back to people who need a platform, you know, because that's what this is all about, people. This is about giving, and this is about sharing, and this is about hand over hand, fist over fist. This is not about clipping each other and sneakily bum rushing up on behind people and shaking them and just, you know what I mean, just dogging each other out. That's not what this is about. That's not what Let's Talk Urban is about. Let's Talk Urban is just what it's saying. We're going to talk urban. We're going to talk urban fiction, whether you write romance, paranormal, crime, erotica, if it falls under the urban life, urban living, urban loving, urban laughter, then we're going to talk about it, and we're going to shine. And I'm going to get a little more structure, because I ain't ashamed to say that this is a learning experience for me, too, as I am building a platform that is gradually getting some serious, solid foundation. You know what I'm saying? And I don't have a problem with admitting when that there needs to be a little more togetherness and this venture that I'm doing. But you get, I guarantee you, I put my reputation, I put my word, and sometimes it's all you got. At the end of the day, when everything, if everything gets stripped from you, you always have you. You understand? And I'm me. And I am a product of writing, a product of creativity. And I'm telling you, this platform here is going to be so intense that folks ain't going to even know how to deal with me. They're not even going to know if they could come to me. So I'm telling you ahead of time, this is the place to come to. I am that go-to. I will, and what I don't know, I ain't fronting. I ain't going to make you think I know more than what I know. I ain't going to give you some sour advice or some tainted, shallow, see-through knowledge. I'm going, if I can't help you, I'm taking you to the person that I know who is going to help you. And that's what this radio station is going to be founded on. And that's why I took on Treasure Blue, because opinionated as he may be, he is nothing but a ball of information. And he's a human being who takes this writing as a passion. So, of course, he's going to be passionate about it. And when you feel strongly about something, you fight for it. You fight for it and how you view it. And that's what he does. He is the Black E.F. Hutton. And when he speaks, many folk listen. And he's the reason why a lot of people write. He is a veteran. He, Harlem Girl Lost is a book that made people say, I want to tell my story. You know, this dude is telling a female story. I want to tell my story. I want to talk to this dude, and he's always available. I don't know too many folks that ever have come to me and said, I tried to talk to Treasure Blue. He wouldn't even talk to me. Now, he might cut you out for asking something stupid. When he's saying, well, really? You should know that. Did you not do your homework? You know, because he like that third grade teacher with the ruler that you're scared of. You know what I'm saying? But you be attentive when she speaks. You understand? That's what he is. And I said she because, you know, he writes from a girl's perspective. And I chose Dr. K because her is amazing. Her faith in God is unwavering. She lost her son, and she's not bitter. She is amazing. I mean, I throw my prayers in the air, and I gather every prayer warrior that I know to come together and give Dr. K. Samuels a prayer that's going to heal her and that's going to keep her faith where it is, or water it. Because if it grows any more, I am telling you, she is going to be the ray of light over Let's Talk Urban. We're going to get blessings just because Dr. K. Samuel is on the Let's Talk Urban team. And I chose Penetrations After Dark because, I don't mind investing in John B. Because she's very passionate about her writing. And she's still learning. I sent her a message today about a morning prayer that I get every single morning. And there's a handful of folk that I always copy and paste and share this morning prayer with. And she don't get it, she says. But she gets it. You know, I see her getting it. And her faith will grow as she grows and she starts saying, I'm growing. Got to be nothing but God. You understand? And she writes erotica, and she's partnered up with her best and her close friend, Chris Renee, and they're going to put together some bed shaking, headboard banging, skin revealing, honey, we even gonna have some author debuts. And when I say debuts, I ain't talking about dropping that first book. I'm talking about peeling off clothes when they have this game that they are going to play. Basically, are you smarter than an author? Because if you're not, if you are, that author is going to peel off something if they lose answering this the question correctly. They're going to have to peel off something, and we're going to take pictures of that there and have that posted in the Penetrations After Dark room. They also will be accepting inquiries to their email address, and it is called J&ANDC, as in Chris, J&C, Sex Therapy. Sex with two X's. I'm at gmail.com. And they're accepting submissions and questions. If you got some questions you want to ask them, almost like a love column with a whole lot of raunchiness. And I love the fact that that's part of her. She's young, and Chris is still young, and they got a young perspective on love life and love making. And I think it's a great thing to have because it allows us to show our vulnerable sexual side. And so it's a combination of that, and me and my wife have a show called Pillow Talk, and I know it sounds like we're going to be talking about kinky stuff. I guess we could think lesbian and think sex. But no, this is about family. We're going to have Pillow Talk on every other Sunday. And we are going to have one Sunday YouTube video and one Sunday radio show where you're going to be able to get to bed before you lay your head down and do that little talk. Talk about everything that happened throughout your day that you didn't get to say, that you would normally go to bed with it being a thought. We ain't allowing that. We're going to have Pillow Talk, and we are going to think of the best topics and the most trending topics to speak about whether it comes down to talking about losing our black boys or just losing our sons, period, or fatherless children or whatever is going on in my life or her life or, you know, our friends, because we go-tos for our friends, so coming to us with their woes, and we don't really got all the answers they need, we're going to pillow talk it out. And that's when we're going to pillow talk it over the radio so you guys can call in and give advice and say, you know, whoever sends the question in, look, anonymous, you know, this. Try this. This works for me. Maybe if you implemented this, we don't have the answers for you for any questions that you have on living, loving, and laughing. It's a must. So I hope that you guys tune in to Let's Talk Urban Radio. Just about every day of the week we're on. Wednesdays is Penetration After Dark, and as you know, that will be After Dark. And we're looking at 8 p.m. shows. We also have Let's Talk Urban. It may very well have its strength on Thursdays and Fridays. And Saturdays will be Treasure Blue. He's starting off on the 21st, which is every 2 weeks. That he'll have a show until he feels like he wants to explore into, you know, 4 times a week. His is a Sunday show, and his first guest is Strawberry Publications, was founder and CEO, LaQuisha Malone. She's going to bring up her authors to the platform, Pamela Wright and Pamela Wright, and Maurice Bishop, who's a poet. And we are going to share this link right here because it tells the most details about what we're set out to do. We're going to finish and it's going to get done. Even if there is a skip to this beat, we will stay tuned. You will stay tuned. And you will find out all that you need to know about this industry, about writing, about living, just about everything. And I'd like to thank you guys for listening to me rant and rave and mumble and jumbo. But I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very serious about being there for people because in my life I have had some serious do-good-to-me-ers. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about people who really did good to me. And you have turned around and said, I did good for you. I'm talking about genuine givers that have helped me in every way of life. Every way of life. Not just books, but in every aspect of life. And I want to be that person that sets the team for you to be able to say, you know what, I'm Team Felicia Bradshaw, I'm Team Let's Talk Urban, I'm Team Urban Great Grind Magazine, which is also dropping on the 13th, guys, and I'm also Team of Mad 3 because we also provide reviews. We're starting to build a book club called of Mad Readers. We are also media outlet, as you know, magazine and radio. We are going to step into doing some live tapings of talk shows for Let's Talk Urban's live talk show. And we will come together in Cali and do some tapings and with a private audience. And I'm talking about some Queen Latifah shit. Oops. I don't think Queen Latifah says the SH word, but some Queen Latifah this. On some, we ain't gonna Oprah. But we gonna do some Queen Latifah. We might do some Ellen. I think you get the legit. Some Steve Harvey. We gonna sit down and really talk it out with a live audience and private, exclusive invitations given out for the audience. So I want you guys to stay tuned because we got some things going on for the Harlem Book Fair that is off the chain. You will catch me back on the East Coast. We will have some things in play that you have not yet to see anybody embark on. Because you know that's what I do. You know, I get a little creative and get on a train with it. So we will have a solid platform with the proper structure, with these links for these shows going out like clockwork, uploaded to 4 and 5 different audio-friendly sites. Right now that we still do, we're just not as strong as where we should be, and we're not as strong as we need to be, because this is not about just dropping links on Facebook. This is about social media, period. This is about strengthening our SEO and being able to be found when we need to be. You understand? And stick out when you least expect it. But we're going to be here, and even when in my downtime, I get tired. I'm like, I'm not doing this no more because nobody appreciates it. I'm not doing this because authors don't listen and they want more and they give less each time. And I'm giving more and more of my life and nobody's doing this. But that's what I'm here for. And that's what I think that's my calling, because I even put my own writing on the back burner, which we'll cease after the structure and the revamping of Emigrate Fine Media publicity and publishing, because we're going to start publishing some anthologies and where submissions will go out in March, and it's called Suite 201, and I'm going to be asking authors to bring their craziest characters to come see Dr. Hardy. Dr. Hardy is a psychiatrist that is going to allow your crazy author to tell his or her story on why they are the way they are. It will serve as a great tool for people who want to keep their books alive because you have to stay relevant. I don't care who you think you are. You have to stay relevant. And you don't put out a book to forget the last book. You understand? You put out an array of books so people will know you for having an array of books. So, like I said, we're going to do some anthologies, and it's going to be a medical group building. We'll allow authors to be able to bring their characters to a psychiatrist, a sex therapist, and a relationship counselor, as well as an addiction counselor. So we have about 4 or 5 Suite 201 through 205. We'll also have the criminally insane come to life and be able to visit a psychiatrist in this medical group where you guys can really get to know your crazy character that you love so much and get an understanding of why they are crazy. So, like I said, with all these things going on, just give some time and some patience. And I know I probably left some people out that I was supposed to do some things for before this magazine drops. And if I have, please don't feel like I'm ignoring you or feel like that I threw you on the back burner, because I have not. I have moved from the East Coast of Connecticut to the West Coast in Santa Clara, California, and this is demographically so different, and I am adjusting. But with that said, we have a couple of minutes left. But I sure would love, again, for you to keep tuning in and keep us rolling and share and like, because that's all it takes. It just takes 2 seconds for you to click share. I know a lot of you guys don't want stuff off your timeline because your timeline's sensitive. And that's cool, but it's copy and paste that link. Send an email out. We really do need authors to come together with us and say, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to give each other shine, because that's what it's all about. So as we count down the last couple of minutes, Let's Talk Urban. Again, I'd like to thank Byron Kelly for coming on the show. And we have some really doozies coming up for Let's Talk Urban. And our next guest, we're closing down for Valentine's Day, because we're going to be all boo-booed up. I know I am. And our next show will be with the Mimi Capri. And that's Monday, guys. You guys, you got to tune in. 6 to 9, we've been dropping and promoting Mimi's coming. And she is royalty, boss lady. She is writing royalty. She is writing royalty. She is writing royalty. So we will have Mimi Capri, Miss Boss Lady, come on the show on Monday. And then after that, we will have Clever Black back on the 18th, because for circumstances that weren't able to be controlled, he was not able to, even though he was present, he was not able to have his interview for the shooting of and the promotions of Urban Grapevine Magazine, because Clever Black does have a column in this magazine called Politic and Publishing and People. And I just hope that you guys come on out and show us some love like we are showing you. Again, thank you, Byron Carey. Thank you, Leisha Sadler and Writing Royalty, for sending Byron our way. We appreciate you and all the things that you do. Good night.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw
at Urban Grapevine Magazine Project,
your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on. Book it at let's.talk.urban1@gmail.com. Boom.
And be prepared for Penetration After Dark on the its first debut with authoress Shadris Denise. She will be interviewed by Chris Renee and Jonathan, and they are all St. Louis locals. This should be really good. So enjoy the intro to Jonna and Chris's show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You have tuned into Let's Talk Urban Radio 1. And a special guest tonight is Miss Jonna Brown, also known as Jonna B. She currently lives in St. Louis, Missouri. Her style of writing is erotic love stories with a crazy twist. She has four, you know that when she comes on Penetrations After Dark, she will be giving a little of her erotic self. And this is what's going to make Penetrations After Dark come to life, as well as Chris Renee from Life Changing Book. So make sure you tune in for them, as well as supporting Dr. Katia Samuels on Sundays, and because her next show will be Sunday, and she is interviewing the lovely Miss LaDonna Marie. Good night, guys. Stay blessed and keep encouraging, because you know what we do. We just move on to the next one.
I got a million ways to get it. Choose one. Hey, bring it back. Now double your money and make it stack. I'm on to the next one.